For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like men condemned to die in the arena. And we have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to men. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, and we are dishonored. And to this very hour we go hungry and thirsty and are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. And up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. 1 Corinthians 4, 9-13. Good morning and welcome to Through Their Message. Saul had met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. It had been an encounter that would forever change his life and that forever would change the course he had been on. No longer would he be called Saul of Tarsus by his Jewish name, but he would be called Paul, his Roman name, as he was not only of Jewish birth, but he was a citizen of Rome, being born in Tarsus, a Roman city. Paul had been on his way to Damascus to arrest the disciples of Jesus and to take them back to Jerusalem to be dealt with by the Sanhedrin. They were the legislative and judicial body for Israel. And this they were being taken back for merely being the followers of Jesus. One of those disciples he was going to round up was a man named Ananias. The Lord had called to both Ananias and Paul, and he would speak to each of them in a vision that would bring them together, a most unlikely pair. And each of them, by his calling, would come to know a time of gain and trust and of increase in faith. Jesus would set before them difficult tasks to accomplish, and in the suffering that they would be called into for each other, through their trusting in Jesus and his word, they would together draw both the other disciples and followers of Jesus and those who had yet to know him to him. But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Acts 9:15-16. Jesus had said, "I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Why would Jesus use such a phrase? Why would he say such a thing? And why was it important for Paul and Ananias to know suffering? Are we called to do the same? How do we know? Well, Jesus in Matthew 10:38-39 lays it out for us. And he says, "And anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." There you have it, called to suffer. We are called to give everything that we have and are to Jesus, to be available when he calls on us and willing to carry out the task set before us, even if it means having to suffer for another's sake. Go back to the cross of Jesus and the suffering that took him there. See how it nailed him to the cross and held him there? Don't imagine for one moment that the pain he felt was not real, that the blood he shed was not poured out for you, that his silence was for anything except to accomplish what he came to do. He gave his life. He was laid in the belly of the earth, and he rose again, so that you and I could have life, that we could be forgiven, that we could be reconciled to God and be with Jesus in glory and a witness to his majesty, seeing the fullness of it in heaven. He suffered for you. And he now calls that you will suffer for him, that you will proclaim to the world that he lives. He asks that you will walk alongside another and help them to flourish and to grow nearer to God. He calls you to go out into a world so sinful, so dark, so broken, a world that will treat you as it did him, and spit on you and slander you, beat and try to kill you, just because you believe in him. Let's look at two things that our suffering can reveal to us. Number one, through it we gain a deeper understanding of sinfulness. It opens our eyes to our own sin, and in that we can help others to learn the ways of the Lord and to acknowledge their own sin. Paul writes in Philippians 1:29, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have." When we are open to examining our lives, not being afraid to share our mistakes, especially if it will help another to see through where they are, we're not found to just say, "Been there and done that," but saying, "But for the Lord, I would not be what I am today, saved from the penalty of death and the wrath of God that is to come." Number two, we will also find ourselves growing in the knowledge of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. It is overwhelming to think of the suffering that Jesus went through when he bore our stripes, when he was rejected by those he had came to rescue. And through time spent with him, with his word, with each other, the picture becomes clear that this battle for life is fierce. And it leaves many scars, and oftentimes it drains us of all of our strength. But in our weakness, we actually begin to become stronger, because it is no longer our own strength we rely on, but the hand of God that will protect us, provide for us, fight for us, nurture and shelter us. Our trust then goes deeper. Our love becomes richer and sweeter, and our service to him then comes from our heart, a heart filled with the desire for others to know the Lord, that they also may have life, know forgiveness, and see hope. Romans 5:3-5a, "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint us." Paul would list many of the times that he faced persecution, death, beatings, and times that he would suffer for Christ. 5 times he received from the Jews 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times beaten with rods, 1 stone, 3 times shipwrecked and spending a night and a day in the open sea. He experienced danger from rivers, danger from bandits, from his own countrymen, from the Gentiles, and while in the city and in the country and at sea, and from false brothers. He labored and toiled, and often without sleep. He knew hunger and thirst, and often went without food. He knew what it was to be cold and naked, and he felt deep within the pressure of his concern for all of the churches. And so to the people, Paul would speak words of hope through Christ Jesus, and he would remind the church of what this world would now do to the disciples of Jesus, but he encouraged them by the reminder that their suffering would only be for a short time, and that they were to further the work of Christ's church, to further the work of Christ's kingdom, in order to reach all of the peoples of the earth. And with the state of distress and chaos that the world was in, following Jesus would call for the suffering of all those who would answer as he said to them, "Come and follow me." Paul would write in 2 Corinthians 4, 8-11, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body." The life of a disciple is a calling to suffer for Christ by following him. In remembering the suffering of Jesus on the cross, we are reminded that his body that suffered was as frail as ours, and the pain that he felt was every bit as real as to what we may feel, and that it was for us that he suffered. Paul too suffered much as he rose to his calling to preach the gospel and to show the way to salvation's door to those who were lost in the world. The suffering he himself experienced did not distract him or keep him from accomplishing what his task was to do. And because of his keeping his eyes on Jesus and the task set before him by the Lord, we today have greater understanding of Jehovah and the journey we are each called to take. What of your life, Christian? Whose eyes do you see the world through? Has all of your suffering been because of your own choices? Have you let anyone else in? Are you growing in your relationship with the Lord? And what are you doing to further the work of His kingdom? Take some time today and sit and speak with the Lord about where you see yourself and ask Him where He sees you. And then, while you are there with Him, praise Him and thank Him for the valleys and the peaks, for the rejoicing and the suffering. And with each trial and temptation, that you have become stronger and more deeply in love with Him as He has brought you through each one of them. And when you look back at the opportunities that He has presented to you, be amazed. Our suffering today is only for a moment in time. We who are called by Him by name will be like Him one day, resurrected as He is, and on that day, suffering shall be no more. Our hope is eternal.